podcast?
Movie podcast.
Are you getting this?
Not enough context for that great zinger I just had.
Welcome to the Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 174. I am your host, Tiggs. And with me, as always, I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Wow. Alex, I see you.
I'm Peter, and I am the fire.
I will be honest. I thought about that last week, forgot about it until right now, and figured it would be just as awkward as it was right now.
Yeah, so. I'm going to be honest. I hated it.
You really caught us off guard with that. And yeah. I hope the folks at home know how bad it made us feel.
Yeah. You know what? To be fair, 25 years of improv, that's what it gets you. So.
Yeah. Jessie Buckley is making her way up to the stage to yell at us to stop the podcast.
You know, it's a good thing I know when none of us spent any money on like a pyramid scheme of improv.
Oh, but you know what? Somebody is eating something off of all of that from the back half.
I literally picked up a Reese's peanut butter cup as you said that, and I was like, how does he know?
So I'm watching you because you have your camera on, Alex. We do this thing with our camera.
Oh, weird. I should put pants on then.
You should probably put some sort of clothing on right now. Wow, look at this. We are going. It is 2026. Happy New Year to both of you, which I did not say when we started this call. Good to be here and good to talk about movies. And we've got a decent number of movies to talk about this week, this month. This is quick turnaround, but let's get to it because we got a bunch. So let's start with the critical darling of the year. Probably Marty Supreme.
I really thought you were going to do a classic Tiggs in which we said we were going to start with Marty Supreme. And then you were going to refer to the housemaid as the
critical. I was so close, but I knew that that first introduce yourselves thing threw everybody off, so I wasn't going to do it again.
Which actually throws off even more.
Yeah, exactly. Now everyone was expecting it. I screwed it up. All right, Marty Supreme.
I'm a big Marty fan.
I thought it was very good.
Marty's Corner. It was very fun getting two Safdie movies in a year.
Yes.
That are insanely different.
The Supreme Machine would be the next if they were to combine the two of them at this point.
I think I really like this, but I was saying this to Peter. It weirdly for some reason, I don't know why, this movie has an Anora feeling vibe to me.
I totally felt that too while I was watching it. I was just like, what is it about this that makes me feel like I'm watching Anora, but less funny?
And I don't know what it is. It's maybe just the stress, the underlying stress.
I think that there's something to the underlying stress and to him just constantly running around to different places to try and as opposed to Anora where there is a clear goal and we're all kind of on Anora's side throughout the entire thing. And this one, you're just please stop running around to places and doing things, Marty. Just is this, can we do this? But I totally felt the exact same way, but I wasn't laughing quite as much through the second half of it or the first half. I was very into it. I was having a lot of fun, and then Penn Jillette showed up, and I was just like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Was that casting, while it worked, felt so bizarre at first.
I didn't think that a lot less people will recognize that as Penn Jillette.
I didn't recognize it. My sister was just like, hey, it's Penn Jillette. I was just like, the Penn and Teller guy?
I think this is a really good testament to misguided when you have someone that has talent, our friends that were stand-ups and all stuff like that.
Those friends, sure, totally. And where are you going with this?
Here's where I'm going with it. That no matter what you tell them, hey, are you gonna do how are you gonna live? And they're like, oh no, I'm the absolute best at what I do. And just people haven't realized it yet. It's like
stand-ups we knew thought they were the best.
They kept doing our show for 10 years.
But then they did do it. And the thing is sometimes you have that that misguide, like what can seem like people that are very talented that yeah. have to put those blinders on to be like, no, I am like, I am awesome at this, and this is what I'm doing, and no haters or whatever they're called or criticism is allowed. And you kind of, where I'm going with this is that, like, I think this movie does a really good job of channeling like the way that when people are young and talented,
yeah.
they have to just like commit, and if they just commit to it, they have to like almost destroy everything in their lives.
It is a
to
yeah.
get their dreams.
It's the putting on blinders. It's literally like, you know, trying to like focusing so hard on something that like you have to ignore the rest. And while it's, you know, Marty, I guess the thing is that like as the table tennis player that he is obviously like, you know, great at it until he kind of meets his match and then and kind of like, you know, loses like that first big match. But like while he's going through everything, like he is showing his talent for at least the people that he is in the same yeah. like room with at the time.
I don't know, Peter, what is your kind of like, I know you're a big Safdie fan.
And related, and like, somehow related to all of our friends.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't trying to throw our friends under the bus. I was just trying to say that, like,
kidding.
People are like when you're young and you're good at something, you have to like be.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy this as it has all the hallmarks of a Safdie film, but I think it's a much easier watch. I think that's where the Anora. Yes,
I think so too.
Comparison comes in because you find yourself almost laughing at what Marty tries next, unlike right. when Howie Ratner.
I think so. Just say the uncut.
Uncut films. You're just like begging him yeah. to stop.
Yeah.
But here you're like, oh, here goes Marty.
Yeah.
Absolutely doing the dumbest thing. Or like, you know, it was just very fun to watch him almost like. Like the movie had I think a really fun pattern to it that like every scene would continue two scenes later when Marty went back to apologize to someone.
Yes.
So it was this almost like weird construction if it was like cut and pasted, but it was like he would say fuck you, do two other things, and then go back and be like, listen, when I said fuck you,
like I didn't mean it. And then like how did people yeah. react?
You're right, because whether it was like Gwyneth or anyone else, like pretty much he would like come into someone's life in someone's life, they would initially be smitten by him in one way or another, and then he would pretty much like then treat them terribly or, right. or rebuff them in some way, and then come back, you're right, like about two scenes or so later, and then they'd be like fuck you.
He was the only one that mattered to Marty, right? Like Marty, it was yeah. Marty was in it for Marty, you know, it was like Surly, you know, like that, yeah. that was kind of like the whole, but you did root for him, like, because you saw that he was like, he was very good and you wanted him to make it to like going to like that final match. You're just like, I need him to get there. I don't care how he gets there, but he's got to get there and he's got to like win. And then like the final, you know, when the Shark Tank guy comes from behind the curtain, you're just like, just take him out. Like, you got this. You can do this. Like, you wanted to. I was like cheering in the movie theater with like six other people, and I was so excited when all of that was going down. So I really, it was a lot of fun. It was still, it was stressful, but it was nowhere near the levels of stress of like Uncut Gems. And I also think that part yeah. of it ends up being like the music choices throughout Marty Supreme that keep you like more, that keep it more fun and playful with like, you know, was like Songs from the Big Chair and like Tears for Fears and stuff like that, like playing throughout and, yeah. and like all those.
Yeah. I think it almost has a happier ending. And if you want to read it that way, I think as Alex said, like he was so driven, and you kind of get the sense that he just needed to finish this one thing. He was so fixated on it, and he just needed it because he knew he could, and he knew he had the ability. He just had to get there. And I think the end of this movie kind of feels like he finally lets go of all that.
Right.
And yeah.
He starts to feel in the world again.
And to quote Blink-182, I guess this is growing up.
Oh, God.
Is kind of the way I would put a cap on the ending. Because, like, I think that he finally, like, things sort of get put in perspective.
Yeah. He finally acknowledges it, right? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, I guess I can't be a shit. Like, yeah, maybe I can do all these other things, but I just can't be a shithead anymore.
And that's he is, just to be like, clear, he is a shithead.
Oh, big time.
I think that moment is him, he's breaking down because he's about to rededicate himself to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of find that as nice as well as the most as you can for being like, you're still a horrible person and you're going to fuck this up a million times.
Right, right. But he's committed to that now. And that's good. that's the important part. That's the important thing. Marty learns a lesson.
We all do at the
end. And like, you feel bad for a lot of people throughout it. Like, really should just like use those orange balls at some point. Like, that was a good idea. I don't know why I didn't.
That was a good idea.
Yeah, it was a good idea. Should have taken those with them. Should have taken those with them at the end there.
Love this cast.
Which one, say?
I love the whole cast.
Yes.
And I said my biggest complaint with Smashing Machine was like the movie stars did not blend in very well with the non-actors.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a single drop of that feeling in this movie. As you said, Penn Jillette is the weirdest, but like I think Kevin O'Leary is pretty good.
Kevin O'Leary is very good.
I don't exactly know how to take that weird vampire monologue towards the end.
I was really like,
love it.
I kind of liked it.
I liked it as well, but there was also a part of me that was like worried that was like, is this real? Is that? Is he being serious? Like,
no,
is that what's about to happen?
I think it is like, it's him pretty much saying like, I will eat your head.
Right. It was the funny, but it wasn't just like that. It wasn't just the vampire thing, which I would have been able to blend like, oh, that's it. Who's like, I've been alive since the 1600s. And I was like, where are we going right now?
Yeah.
And Tyler, the creator,
really good.
Was good.
Really good.
Was really fun. I don't think that like, you know, I think his involvement seems to be getting more around the rounds than anyone else's. And I think everyone was great. Yeah.
Everyone did really good in this movie. It shot really well. It feels like it like flows really well. It never like for like a 2.5 hour movie. I guess because of the pace and because of how quickly it's moving, like through scene to scene, you never really feel its length. And then you just kind of like, you come out at the end, you're just like, holy crap. I was there for a while. That was good.
Yeah.
A lot of good twists and turns throughout it. It shot really well. It felt like we were like watching like, you know, like a just post-war like New York as well for a lot of the time. So it had a really good set design.
It felt like it could have been based on something.
Yeah.
It's based on a real dude.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. But it's like, he was a champion ping pong. He did like tour with the Globetrotters. And he was like a humongous personality in New York City, but like,
okay.
In a bit of a, like a hustler in like a lot of different ways, but like in no means like the crazier things Marty gets up to is what this actual person did.
Okay.
All right. Cause I thought it was up for original, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
Golden Globes doesn't differentiate.
Well, they might. Oh God. What if you endorse Tinks?
Oh no. Oh no.
How could you besmirch the crystal clean eat a plate off the reputation of the Hollywood Foreign Press?
I apologize. I'm so sorry. Please do not blacklist our podcast.
They're so drunk at that thing, they won't know.
You know what? No, it's very true. I assume if it was based on someone, then it'll have to be up for adapted, right? Is that how that works?
I mean, if it would only if like
there was a
there
book.
Was an article written about okay. this guy
exactly,
or
yeah.
a book written about him. But I think if you just base it on a person and but you're not basing it on something written.
Okay.
But I'm also stupid, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to say it, but you know, it's fine.
But I think I saw the Variety, like if you go to that page that's like their predictions, it's got it for original.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So I guess whoever wrote about this dude.
I think this would make a great like, you could watch this as a 4-part Netflix like
totally,
like docuseries, and not be like and not change that much, and yes. not be surprised by that. It's great. I think everyone should go see it, and I'm gonna tell you when.
Yep.
This is like a Saturday afternoon one.
I saw this on a. Did I see this on a Saturday afternoon? I know I saw like the 12 noon showing, like the Bronxville cinema.
I say get like a go to one of those cinemas that's got a bar.
Oh, it's gonna do. Yeah.
Order something nice for yourself.
Yep. Totally. Oh. Diet Coke, seltzer. Yep, I'm there.
Yeah.
Yep.
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 All right.
What do we got next? Let me tell you what we got next. Got next is this thing on?
I would say.
No. I was talking about my microphone, Peter. No, I wasn't.
I get it.
There we go. No, yeah. Let's talk about this thing on.
Housemaid. I don't think it's kind of a frustrating movie, similar to Ella McKay, which we're not going to talk about, in which like every once in a while your brain just goes. Is this a good movie? And then you think about it, and you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's got ideas, right?
Yeah.
And it's got moments, and there's things about it that I like, and then there's things about it that I was like really just bounced hard off of. I was listening to like Blank Check and their for their podcast on it, where they're talking about Bradley Cooper's character of like balls and like how funny he was. And I found him so irritating throughout the whole movie. I hated his character so much.
Because he felt like a different movie.
Yeah, it did. It felt like a completely different movie.
Wait, and did you say his name was Balls?
It's his nickname at the very least.
Balls, is he supposed to be like a Rogan Sphere comedian?
No, he's not a comedian. He's like a kind of struggling actor burnout kind of guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He enters the movie tripping and squashing a carton of oat milk. The only bit of slapstick in the entire film.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so again. Strange. It's he did.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bradley Cooper. B. Coop.
This is a Cooper joint. And I said sometimes it's good. It's just like but I said his scenes feel like in his mind he thought the whole movie was funnier.
Yeah.
And he's like, now my character gets a joke. It's like, this isn't funny.
And I didn't really buy Arnett as like the stand-up, honestly. No. I think there's definitely issues to be had with just like the portrayal of stand-up throughout it, I guess, and whatever.
I like that it didn't try to make him the funniest person in the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought Laura Dern, I thought was very good overall. She's always great. She's always really good. I thought that like my favorite scene and kind of like reaction was when the kids find the yes. joke book and him just like freaking out about it. And I thought that was just like a really well done, like accurate representation of just like, I have these things that like no one is supposed to be reading or anything like that. And I thought that was very good.
So we had friends that were stand-ups. And how do you equate this? No, I was going somewhere. How do you equate this with like the way, like, you know, Sam's hanging out and bust balls and all that stuff? Did that seem
he doesn't hang out with a ton of stand-ups.
He hangs out with them at the show. like immediately afterwards, and then you don't really see him hanging out with stand-ups again.
The movie really pivots away from the stand-up once him and Laura Dern start to like reconnect.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So it's much less of a focal point than you would think. And I think that's a failing when the movie becomes more too much of a divorce movie and not a this guy's doing stand-up as therapy movie.
Yeah.
Because you don't think you know enough about their marriage or who they are to really understand what was wrong and what eventually is reconciling them in a bit.
Well, it starts at the end. It opens with them being just like, so we're done, right?
But Peyton Manning's pretty good.
Peyton Manning's great. He is fantastic in the one scene that he is in.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a duh. Like, it just kind of falls flat for the most part, you know? I don't think it's terrible, but it's not. No. I wouldn't, like, run out to rewatch it. It wasn't overly funny.
I would rewatch Ella McKay first, which is a
kind of really
maddening film of like, what the fuck is happening? Is this a real movie? Oh yeah, it kind of is. Oh wait, no, it's not. This is insane.
Here's a question: would you rewatch this or Funny People?
I don't have that much time, so this.
I do not like. You know, I think that like the realization of like watching this movie is just like, I don't really like watching comedy shows in general.
Yeah, it's just like stand-ups maybe aren't the people that we like need to be, especially I think now when like there's a group of stand-ups like actively ruining the country.
I
think it's like a weird time to be idolizing stand-up comedy.
It's very weird. And it's not like, and they never really get like too deep into anything like that, because again, like he just kind of like is the stand-up is very ancillary to like the entire point. And it's just like, it is a divorce movie more than it is anything else. I also think that it's like wild how quickly he's able to get like a decent apartment in New York City after like the divorce happens. I was just like, damn, that's a nice spot.
It does suffer from like, oh man, these poor rich people at times.
Not unlike This Is 40 or something like that.
I was saying that I've been getting served a lot of ads. They've been doing like sponsored comedy shows.
Okay.
The stand-up comedians from this. So I'm very curious, is there anyone of note that you would say like, oh, this person is funny?
Not really.
Okay.
And they're all like, you'll really only hear like one joke from someone at any given time.
There's a lot less stand up in this movie than you think there is.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're like marketing it is stand up forward,
which is insane.
It's like they spend a decent amount of time like at the Comedy Cellar or like around the Comedy Cellar or like walking up the stairs or down the stairs to the Comedy Cellar or in a hallway of the Comedy Cellar. But like of that is like much less than like actually like the stand up that you see.
Okay, so this is like,
I think he has four sets maybe throughout the movie, four or five sets. You see maybe a minute to 2 minutes of any one, and like the last one is just like full on rage, and people are still laughing. I'm just like, no fucking audience would think anything what he's saying right now is funny.
So it's kind of like it kind of feels like a wannabe thing on that.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
Oh, no, like not the Spice Girls song.
Find a way to market it, and that's the easiest lane.
And like, and there are like a lot of stand-ups. Like, it again, like at one point, I thought that my like favorite like half second cameo was definitely when they're just like, David Tell, everybody, and then David Tell walks on stage and they cut away from the comedy completely.
You don't have to question too much that Will Arnett's character just opened for David Tell.
No. It's pretty, I would not run out to see is this thing on. Nor would I run out to see Anaconda.
Yeah, audiences agree.
Yeah, which oddly enough, so the thing that I found, like, so I saw Anaconda a couple of days ago, and then I saw, like, Is This Thing On a couple of days later. And while I was watching Is This Thing On, I was like, who does Bradley Cooper's, like, character remind me of? And it's Paul Rudd's character in Anaconda. It's also a failed actor who's like constantly just like, oh, they wrote me off of this script and like all this stuff. I'm like, this all happened in Anaconda to Paul Rudd's character. This is so weird. Guys, to be watching this right now in a different movie.
Who's gonna look out for that one like schlubby likable type?
Exactly. Oh my god, this movie is not good at all. And I feel like if you watch, I like the Minecraft movie. I thought it was very fun. Because you could tell that it was just like, I don't know, Jack Black, just fucking talk for 40 minutes.
Jack Black, I'll turn the camera on.
Yeah.
And you, Jack Black.
Yeah. I will cut down that hour into like 2 minutes and then, and that's all we'll do. And this one, it felt like there was like, there's a script here. And you guys have to follow along to this script to the point where like that, like you can like feel the line readings. And I think that that's supposed to be part of it, obviously. Like it, like Paul Rudd is delivering like these, like a lot of these lines with like such like gusto that you're just like, okay, you're just like really like you're hamming it up to like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're gold bellying this too much at this point. But it's dumb. It's not super funny. There's like a couple of moments throughout it, but like it's not great. It's not great.
There's
I'll be honest.
Like Jack Black singing Lava Chicken.
There's like a couple of moments that I thought were like that are decently funny of either like almost like a undercutting an expectation of like somebody giving like a really stupid idea and then being just like, that's a great idea. It's like, all right. You know, you get like a hearty chuckle every once in a while.
The review kind of that made me the least interested in seeing this was like, it's surprisingly like mean-spirited to people obsessed with like movie lovers. Like, wouldn't it just be so easier for these to be like kind-hearted, like lovable people, like a Be Kind Rewind starring Jack Black?
That would have actually been I get that. It's almost like these movie lovers are so dumb as opposed to Be Kind Rewind, where they're just like normal people who just really like movies. And I could see that. Steve Zahn, it's just good to see Steve Zahn, let's be honest. Like
I'm happy that he's having we're in the Zahnaissance.
The Zahngeist.
It's very strange that they also cast the disappeared husband from I'm Still Here. Wasn't that? Did anyone see I'm Still Here last year?
Yes. Yes, I saw it. Wait, did they?
Oh, I saw it too.
Oh, wait, was he the Anaconda? Oh, not the Jude. No. He's the Anaconda.
Wait, I don't remember anything about it. Honestly, he was so disappeared. Braga.
Oh.
Santiago Braga does in that movie, that's who that is.
Okay, that's very funny. I mean, you know, getting work, absolutely.
Yeah,
great movie.
I saw
you
I'm
love
Still
the
Here.
Way you were kidnapped and I'm Still Here.
Yeah.
No, I'm so sorry we had such like an awkward silence to that because it took a while to remember that really good movie.
That movie ruled.
Yeah.
You said I'm Still Here, and I was just like, you mean that was only an accident? What are we talking about right now?
I thought it was the one where everyone was playing Bob Dylan for a second.
I'm not there,
which is also very good. That was that.
Yeah.
What was the Joaquin mockumentary?
I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here.
Oh, they're both I'm Still
Here. Yeah, they're both I'm Still Here. Yeah.
Oh, that's confusing.
Yeah.
But one had a great Letterman appearance.
We'll let you decide which one it was. Don't see Anaconda. I actually almost Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is like out on VOD, and I was
It is now, and I almost watched it myself because I heard that that they went harder on like the meme representation on it.
Oh, thank God! There's not enough meme representation these days anymore. So,
like, apparently it's just like, it's unless your brain is like rotted and cooked in the way that like young kids are, like,
okay,
you won't get half of like the jokes where they'll like cut to someone and be like, oh, it's Chica doing the Dougie or something like that. Like, and you'll be like, oh, that's one video.
So the question is like, was this created before or after 6/7? And like, does this, does like oh my God, how much,
right?
Right. Like that could be a terrible, terrible Whoa. Time.
Well, luckily it only made $125 million domestic.
God.
Tiggs, do you have children in your family that are obsessed with 6/7?
I do. And I keep asking them to explain it to me and they keep telling me there's no explanation. And I'm like, okay, I can get on board with that. But then I'm like, so can I use it? And I'm like, I just can't do it. No. It's
got to happen organically.
It has to happen organically. And like every time you say it, like they will, you know, they will obviously jump onto it, especially like when you're playing like, I don't know, when you're playing like Rummy Cube or whatever, and you're just like 5, 6, 7, and they're just like 6, 7. I'm like, God damn it. Every time. A lot of Rummy Cube going on. Speaking of Rummy Cube, Avatar Fire and Ash came out. How did you guys like it? We all saw it. Crazy.
I just saw it yesterday.
Did you really?
I've seen it twice.
Shocker.
I know. I'm the resident Navi Evil. Expert.
Ah.
Wait.
Resident Pandoric correspondent.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to go into like who's, you know, played Link to the Past and or, you know, like any of those Zelda games, I might be the resident Navi expert. Actually, Alex might be the resident Navi expert.
I am a scientist of two things. One, Pandora, and two, mega structures. I liked it a lot. I had a harder time my first watch with it than I did my second time around. I liked it better the second time. It is absolutely less so than Way of Water. It's very much, if you don't like Avatar movies, you should probably stop seeing them.
You should not spend 3.5 hours in the movie theater waiting for the Avatar movie.
So I actually really liked this one, and my problems with it, though, come from like maybe like quite honestly, my theater experience was terrible.
Really?
I went to the Essex Street Regal.
Okay.
And man, everyone there was just a jerk. And like a lot of just like left their kids that like didn't know what was going on that were just screaming.
Okay.
And just like it wasn't a fun time. But like I think like one of our friends that we went with said like, did the ending seem too similar to Way of Water? And that was
I haven't seen Way of Water since I first saw Way of Water, and I meant to rewatch them for this.
I saw Way of Water when it was re-released in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they repeat, like the whole Tolkien coming to fight, the fight with boats, and then they also repeat the hook of the first one, which is convincing Awa to help them.
Okay.
And like the beast. So there's it's Avatar Thrice Upon the Time 1+2.
I'm bought in. I'm there. All right, let's do this.
So there is a lot of repetition. My problem with that, I don't mind because it's like an Avatar movie. That's the stuff that happens in an Avatar movie now.
Right.
I think it would have been even less well received if they went to a whole new biome.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Like, okay, here comes Avatar 3 and they go to the blank people.
I don't know. I actually was kind of excited for just like evil Navi.
Yeah.
I did like evil Navi. That was fun.
Evil Navi was good. Varang is awesome.
Varang hot.
Yep. Yeah. Obviously it looks like beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time, you know, it's very good. I think we were talking before this about just like how video game coded, so much of this does seem that a lot of this is like drenched in blue light that like definitely evokes a lot of scenes that from
what I love so much is the one sequence in which Quaritch is having a drug trip.
And no, that's literally Far Cry 3, right?
It looks so much like a video game in a way that I love to be like, no, you guys, this is what a video game looks like.
Yeah.
Scenes is what Avatar looks like. So almost like Jim Cameron being like, see the difference between the visuals? Like, see how like flat it flat and digital it looks when I do the drug trip, but then I flash to like Quaritch, quote unquote, IRL, and he looks incredible.
Yeah.
No, I think visually this movie is amazing. Like, and I think that like you'd have to be just a complete, you know, a naysayer to say that like there's not something there with all this stuff with the technology and everything that's done. But I think that like this one there's uneven bumps.
Oh, absolutely.
That I didn't feel with Way of Water.
Agree completely. My biggest speed bump is the standout characters from Way of Water are Loak, the Sun, and Piacon, the Tulkun. And their story in the second one is incredible.
Yeah, it's great.
And they don't know – Jim Cameron doesn't really know what to do with them in this one. So they should have just not done anything. Like if this just did the Kiri and Spider stuff,
Spider was like,
and Loak was way more in the background. I would have loved it more my first time around.
Yeah,
I kind of locked into the thing of like, yeah, they saved the day in the second one, but like what Loak did get his brother killed,
right?
Even though him and his dad end at a better place, like his son's still dead.
They open discussing it. Like that is like the very first scene, and then like, and they're like, okay, we've reconciled. I have gotten over the guilt, and now let's move on from this death.
Yeah, but I like that. Like the they're still kind of fighting with it. He still doesn't completely trust his son, and he shouldn't. Like even though the way that one ended, and the same thing with Piacon. Piacon did help them, but like that's still not what the Tulkun do. So he's still outcast, he's still banished, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think they needed to explain some things better this time, and because it's been 2 years since some of us have seen. Like it's not their, I guess it's not their job to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, but there was moments where I was like, shoot, was that one or two?
Right, or even, like, if not that, then just, like, not make it 3 hours with, like, some amount of bloating throughout this thing to be, like, well, if you're going to do that, you can at least get us, like, somewhat up to speed because it's already just, like, too much.
Yeah.
And what do you think, like so what's the frame rate of these?
It's variable. So there are there are times in which it's 24, and there are times in which I think he ramps it up to as much as 120.
Okay, interesting.
Like not as much as like Ang Lee doing Gemini Man or I think some Billy of Lynn. What Yeah, that and I think me I forget what how high Peter Jackson got with the Hobbits.
48 up to 96
So it changes constantly. So for underwater stuff or action sequences, he will ramp it up.
Cuz the flying sequences, all the Panzer Dragoon stuff is like very good.
Yeah.
You know, this actually made me want to play that
same
Avatar game from years ago. It's on sale for $20.
Yeah, it always okay. It might be worth picking up then.
And
okay.
I think I'm just gonna buy it tonight.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Let us know how it is.
Do it.
Because they just added a third person mode to it.
Oh.
Which I've heard makes it better.
Yeah. And I don't know, like Avid, there is something like this movie just reminds me that there is something there to Avatar.
Yeah.
And I think that like I can't tell if it's special because it only comes around in however long.
Every 5 years or so.
Does it? Yeah. Oh, or
I mean, on average, no, because the first one was 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it didn't. There was not another one until 2020.
too.
Yeah, so there was like 14 years.
14 years. Holy crap. Jesus. I didn't even realize that it was that much.
Vote. Yeah, I think that's like kind of what makes this a little weirder, because I think the second one was so such a box office smash because people had enough
time. That was a great ride to smash.
To forget. I think people had enough time to forget that they actually don't like Avatar movies.
Right, yeah.
And still went saw it. I don't think this did worse than the other two combined because people remember too much that this isn't for them.
Yeah, but even still, like, I don't know, like watching it and not remembering that much about like Way of Water or even like the first Avatar for the most part, or like any of like the intricate details that there are a lot of, it's still just fun to watch and to be a part of. Like, like you can just sit there and be like, I don't know, you just said some, you know, some like, you know, whatever, like a Galactic Senate stuff that means nothing to me, but I'm still enjoying watching this thing right now.
It's already made $1 billion.
Correct.
Let's see if it breaks. Let's see if it gets to two.
I don't think it will hit two.
I don't think
we'll see. How many more times are you going to see it, Peter?
At least once more.
Okay. Well, that's not going to get it to two. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, James.
They should do like it would be really cool to see. Like, I assume it's in 4DX at this point.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe I should do that for the next viewing.
I haven't been to 4DX in a while. That's on, 14th Street?
Yeah, I did the Lincoln Square. Oh, no, 4DX is at the
42nd Street.
Yeah.
Oh. I think that is also at Union Square, though. Oh, I do believe that they have one yet.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I think the Regal in Astoria might be getting a 4DX. They're in the process of redoing that place.
It is so crazy that that's actually taken off in any meaningful way. I've never been to a 4DX theater that has more than like me in it. So then again, I saw Blair Witch in 4DX, so maybe that wasn't the one to choose, but whatever.
To be fair, it just had you staring into the corner the whole time.
Well, yeah. Well, no, not the Blair Witch Project. Blair Witch, please. It just smelled like roses the whole time. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm all for 4DX stuff. I think it's kind of fun to do. But
I'm all for more Avatar, like more franchises. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with like more original stuff coming out. So
yeah, I'm fine with it. Bring in get the next one. Although it says like what 2029 right now. So we'll see.
I think.
Oh, really?
Wait, that's next year. No, that can't be right.
Yeah, that cannot be right.
Wait, no, for what?
Avatar 4.
Next Avatar.
I don't think they didn't do a fourth one. So it's still up in the air whether or not that's going to happen.
Really?
Yeah, the 2 and 3 were filmed at the same time.
Oh, okay. So then, and then 4 and 5 might happen at some point, which would also be like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Only if it hits $2 billion, though. So, Peter.
I mean, hit $1 billion. He's going to do it. He does this every time.
I know. It's crazy.
It's going to happen. He's teased a bunch of stuff like David Thewlis's character becoming bigger and a bunch of other shit. Like, who knows? We'll see.
See what happens.
Obviously, I'm in for it, but I'm an Avatar fan that like I won't watch that movie at home.
Right. Yeah. That's.
I will go see it if you re-release it like they did with Way of Water. I'll go see it.
Yeah. The first Avatar was like the one 3D Blu-ray that I had. But I no longer have a 3D Blu-ray player or 3D TV, so it doesn't really help. But it was very cool to like kind of see, and it was definitely like an experience and something like different at that point. I would watch like if I want to rewatch the first two, just because it's been so long, and I need to remember what happened because I know that there's blue people and I know there's avatars and hair stuff. That's about all I got right now.
Lots of hair stuff.
Lots of hair stuff. Hamnet? I don't know. Was there hair stuff in Hamnet? I don't remember.
How did this work for you? I didn't completely connect with this.
I I thought the performances were like insanely good.
Yes.
And I thought that, like, you know, I thought it does like a good job of like kind of like building the relationship to like the death, and then kind of like the finale of Hamlet, I thought was like, this is a good structure. I kind of get this, but like everything kind of like in between, and then, and even like some of the bits within the actual play, I was just like, I don't know. I'm not totally buying this.
I absolutely expected to cry uncontrollably by the end of this film.
Same. And
I had this weird thing in which I was just like sitting there watching the end of this movie and wasn't like actively or even consciously crying, but I just felt that there were tears running down my face. Like, so mm-hmm. It is moving. It is affecting, but I just wasn't with this movie the entire time. I wasn't with this movie's emotions, which I think is, you know, absolutely chief number one, top of the list that you have to be attached to for him.
Right.
Did either of you read the book?
No, I have not. I have it here. I can see it from where I'm sitting right now, but I have not read it.
Because I tend to hear from people that read the book that helped a lot.
Mostly the stand-ups that we know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly the stand-ups.
Yeah. Well, what I heard about the book is that Shakespeare is a bit more of a pricklier character in that one. So it's a bit more...
Which he is at times in this, but not like enough. There's like one or two scenes where you're just like, oh, who is like, this is the person that we should be like kind of like, this is like the dick. And it doesn't come off enough throughout this movie.
No, I agree.
I do think that I do think that Jesse Buckley like really kills it.
She's been steamrolling award stuff, and I have no problem with that.
I agree. I don't think that, like, I thought that I was hearing a lot of buzz around Mescal. And I thought he was good, but I also think that she just kind of steals.
He doesn't have as many big scenes as you would expect.
Yeah. Also, like, I'll be honest, if I was like on stage and somebody grabbed my hand, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on right now? That's really what took me out of this at the end of the movie. I was like, this is not supposed to happen.
It's I think you have to take yourself out of what she does at that to really enjoy that sequence, because it's very weird.
Yeah. But overall, I think it's a very well done movie.
And it's real pretty to look at.
It's very pretty looking. And that was
Chloe Zhao.
Oh, it was Chloe Zhao. Yeah, like you know, so none of the Eternals show up, which was disappointing, but I guess this is kind of a way to get everybody back into it.
Kumail Nanjiani still worked out for it, though.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. No. It was like, I can't wait. Be a stagehand.
Kumail's got a new stand-up special in the one clip
I watched it.
Talking about getting bullied for getting in shape, and I just want to be... It wasn't because you got in shape, it was because of that stupid fucking photo you posted.
Exactly. Agreed.
If you were just like strong in the Marvel movie, no one would say shit because of your dumb posing photo.
Oh, man. All right, let's keep it going. We only got a couple things to talk through, and it's all me. All right. Surratt. Who wants to hear about Surratt?
I do. Sure. I'm really interested in it. I've heard it. So it's what is its country of origin?
Great question. I think that it was like partially, I'm trying to remember exactly where, like it was partially funded, I think, by Spain. So parts of it had to be filmed in Spain, but it wasn't initially, from there. And now I need to go and look it up.
Moroccan.
Yeah. Cause it happens in, it's like across like these like music raves in North Africa, I want to say. Spain, as the one who actually financed it, it is their submission for the Oscars. Spain and Morocco, yeah.
The foreign language film award seems to have been the most like roller coaster of the sense of who's the front runner.
Yeah.
It was just an accident. Felt like it was unbeatable, and then it feel like that has kind of dropped off.
Secret Agents definitely popped up.
Secret Agent popped up, and No Other Choice has popped up, and now this has popped up. So,
yeah,
it seemed to be very up in the air. So I'm very excited to see this one. Is it trippy? Like, what's the deal? What's the feel?
It's I think I would kind of like define this as like, it's like surprise sorcerer.
Ooh.
Like at
okay,
you're at one point.
Alex is awake now.
You know, like you know what you're watching, and yeah. then the midpoint happens, and you're just like, "What's going on right now?" And not in the way that like you're tripping out or anything like that, but you're just like did this just turned into sorcerer all of a sudden, and shit just went wrong.
So and this is a neon flick, right?
Oh, if you're a foreign film this year, you are.
Neon is all over the foreign films this year. It's very good.
That's what I wanted to ask. Like, are they kind of taking like the internet, becoming the international A24?
It does kind of feel like it.
Yeah, they've been outbidding everyone, and they have a chance of going 5 for 5 with nominations for a foreign level.
Wow, which would be wild. It's a good movie. I don't think I was like, I feel like knowing that is actually probably helpful in some way. Cause it shook me and took me out of it. Yeah. Where I was like, I don't know what to do for the next like 10 minutes. But it's like a wild ride to the point where like, you think you know what you're doing, or you think, you know, like here's the plot. And then something happens and like, that is no longer the plot anymore. And okay. Like no one talks about it again. Awesome. And then goes wrong. It's very good. It's very good. I definitely like I haven't seen Secret Agent yet. I still think that like it was just an accident is hard to beat in my mind right now. Just like overall.
We'll talk about it next time. We decided to hold off on it, but I'm not crazy about Secret Agent.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear that because I really want to see it and hear your take on it as well. But yeah, I am I'm interested to finally see it myself because it's definitely it's only in like a couple of theaters and it keeps getting to going into less and less, which I'm hoping means it drops soon, like on VOD.
Yeah,
I'm more interested in No Other Choice.
Same. I've rewatched what is it called? Decision to Leave.
Oh my god.
And that movie's a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
That I'm so excited for this new Park Chan-wook.
It's really funny.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah, but in my mind, it was just an accident, seems almost like, come on.
I know. I mean, and like besides, yeah, I think that, yeah, I'm still, I really want to see Secret Agent. I think it was just an accident. I think that like, that is just like so incredibly well done throughout. Anyway, we'll get there. We'll get there when we get there. But before we get there, let's talk about The Housemaid.
Please.
So which one's that? Is Sydney Sweeney The Housemaid or is Amanda Seyfried The Housemaid?
Sydney Sweeney is The Housemaid.
Okay.
Amanda Seyfried is the wife. Is kind of like, you know, going insane. I'll say like it's Amanda Seyfried actually she is big in this movie and I think that it works out like really well. Like I think she plays it exceedingly well. Sydney Sweeney plays it like every, I don't know, is fine, I guess is what I will say. But I enjoyed it, and then I found myself like kind of rethinking about it for like the next couple of days. And there's the very obvious twist that happens, I guess. Like, and then there's like a second twist on top of it that I was like, oh, that's actually kind of clever. and then like the ending is just like kind of dumb for the most part. But
so is this like trashy fun or is it actually good?
I think that you could, this is high trashy fun is what
okay.
I would
say. All right.
Like I enjoy this. Like if this was to, when this does drop on, you know, whatever, like I will be watching this again. I had a good time like watching through this movie and watching through this movie. That's a weird thing to say.
Have either of you seen either of these Simple Favor movies?
I saw the first one. I never saw the second one.
Was it any good?
The first one wasn't bad.
This is Paul Feig again, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, it is. It's Paul Feig again. It's no spy. I think we can all admit that this is no spy.
Yeah.
And I feel like there is like a through line from the Simple Favor to this, but I also feel like this is so like a Simple Favor, I feel like was playing it like too straight for so much of the time, and this is like that, but then it like kind of Gone Girls, and it's like kind of, and it's a little bit more fun, is what I'll say.
Okay, all right.
It's good. It's worth watching. So I would recommend it if you got like if you can like just got go around for a little while. But yeah, not bad. It's good to see Paul Feig doing some more stuff. All right,
let's move. All right.
Wake up, dead man. A Knives Out.
Oh, finally.
Trilogy.
Yeah, so this kind of takes us to the end of Knives Out as we know it, right?
I don't think so. No one ever said there was only going to be a trilogy.
Oh, well, this is what it was signed originally for, right?
I think this is the end of the Netflix era of Knives Out.
Right. So okay. Which is actually interesting that you say that, Alex, because at the Q&A, I forget who was like who was actually moderating the Q&A, but they asked if this Rian Johnson, like, so this is it. And he was just like, why? What do you mean? Who said that? he's like, they're just like, are you going to hand the reins over to someone else or anything? He's just like, no, this is my thing. I don't like, what do you mean? Why would I hand this over to somebody else to do? So it really feels like Rian Johnson wants to keep playing in this and like really likes these whodunits and these mystery like genre. And I mean, obviously, but I don't think that this is over. Sure. I don't think that I don't think his next movie will necessarily be Knives Out. I think he'll probably do something different, at least according to him. But I fully expect there to be some more after this. And I welcome it all. I loved this.
I loved it too, yeah.
I liked it. You know, I weirdly liked, I think I liked Glass Onion better than this one.
Really?
I know it's blasphemy. Oh,
really?
So
the first Knives Out, I think is a masterpiece because it's utterly rewatchable.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
And what excited me so much about Glass Onion, I was like, oh, there's such a fun little twist in the middle of this that it's going to make rewatching it fun.
Yeah.
And I don't think that second one is as rewatchable as I want it to be.
I agree, yeah.
This one doesn't have that feeling that it's super rewatchable, but I think that almost like is a good pivot.
Yeah.
That there's no like huge twist in this movie.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's the thing for me with this movie is that like when you watch Glass Onion, like if you're like when you're watching it, you can see like Ed Norton like switch the glass. Right. And so you're just like, oh, I see it. I know this is about to happen. And I'm like, everything else is still fun. Batista, like everybody is still really good in it. But here, like sitting there and being just like, I'm trying to figure this out. And then when it all like comes out, you're just like, no, I wasn't going to. Like that, like there was nothing in there.
Yeah, there's no way you could kind of get some of the stuff. I think maybe that was some of my frustration was the fact that like there was some things in it that you just like couldn't guess.
And I can definitely see that like where you're just like, how aren't I supposed to figure this out? Like I was able to figure out like a lot, and this one not being that, I totally get like why that would be frustrating. And I came out of it being like talking to Mary Ellen, being like, I wish they teased out some of the stuff more so that I could have figured it out. But then as I've thought about it more, I've been like, no, I don't need to figure it out. Like I've actually enjoyed just like sitting in there and watching it and having it all unfold.
Because I like that he always sends you on the same sort of journey that Benoit Blanc goes on.
Yeah.
So for this one, like it's very clear at the end of it, like Benoit figured it out already.
Yeah. Right.
But he wanted these people to still experience all of this.
Yeah.
And find their own way through it. And that's kind of the way of watching this movie.
The way of water.
I'm letting go the reveal and the secret. I'm kind of letting go of it. And I want to watch these actual like characters like grow or learn something or confess something.
Yeah.
which I guess ties into
the whole, yeah, the religious like overtones or throughout the entire, you know,
and the fact that I had friends that were stand-ups. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we came up with a lot of friends in the seminary.
Yeah. The stand-up seminary. Josh O'Connor kills.
Josh O'Connor's great. Yeah. He has been great in everything he's been in so far that I've seen him.
And this has been three movies this year, right?
He had this
History of Sound, Mastermind,
and I think something else, like another bigger thing.
I don't know what Rebuilding is.
I really like Mastermind. I just saw that.
I really like Mastermind a lot. I didn't see History of Sound. I know you did, Pete.
Rebuilding was very tiny.
Okay. So
that barely got a release.
But he, I guess he's going to be in the new, obviously. Yeah, exactly. I guess he's in the new
Spielberg this coming year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Josh O'Connor is the opposite of Pedro Pascal for me, which I am completely so tired of seeing Pedro Pascal in something else right now. But if you told me, do you want to go see the new Josh O'Connor movie? I'm going to say absolutely. I just saw a couple of them. Keep throwing them at me.
That's interesting. Like, I almost feel like a similar to Glenn Powell at this point. But only because of The Running Man.
Should have been The Running Man.
Such a letdown. Holy shit.
And it was specifically Running Man that like really took me out of it. But I thought, so Wake Up Dead Man, I like it more than Glass Onion. I don't think it is better than the original Knives Out. Yeah, I do think
1-3-2.
Yeah, I agree. I think that like the lighting and the setup of this one more specifically, because there's like so many of these like outdoor night shots and like so much of like the religious image, I really just like love how this entire thing was framed. And like the kind of like the Lazarus box and all of that stuff that I really enjoyed, just like how all of it played out and just like watching it all play out throughout. And yeah, I don't think that Rian Johnson should get away from these because they're just so much fun.
I think he wants to get away from Netflix. And I went like down this weird vortex after watching this of like trying to find all these different clues in this movie about how much he hates Netflix.
Wait, really?
I kind of go that way because like, if you remember, my biggest complaint about Frankenstein was the lighting.
Yes.
Same.
Yep.
And yes, I think that's the thing. Like, if you're making movies for Netflix, you have to do the lighting in the Netflix way that it will stream well. And I think he fucks with the lighting so much in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he, for no reason. There are times in which, like, the lighting changes in the church in the middle of a shot.
Yeah.
Just because the sun's going behind a cloud.
Yeah, which I think is great. Like, I love it. Like, it feels like you're sitting in, like, you're the time of day is passing. Like, I think of that as, like, well done.
And then he plays with nighttime a lot, which is something that doesn't stream well at all.
Yeah.
Like, really dark shots look all that, like, a weird pixelated cloud.
Yes.
And he fucks with that. And then, for me, the biggest thing is the Kerry Washington character comes up out of from under the thumb of this church. And like the first thing she does is light up a cigarette, which is not something that like most studios allow you to do, is have characters smoke. And also smoke looks terrible in streaming. That's one of the other things that it's so bad at. So he has this character like light up a cigarette is this like, oh, I didn't know you smoked. He's like, I used to. And it's their one piece of like freedom. And feeling better. And like the Kaylee Spaney character who's like decides that money wasn't going to solve anything and it's instead the love of their art. And like,
interesting.
Oh,
so you're see, like, yeah. you're pilled on this.
I'm a bit like this is him saying, fuck you, Netflix. I really can't stand you guys.
Oh my God. You're like, no, this all makes sense, but it's very like conspiracy mind. I liked it.
Yeah. I don't know why while I was watching it, I was like, I think specifically because of that one shot when the light just changes, I'm just like, why are you like, how dare you get away with this?
That's funny. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I like that though. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And there's more that I can't think of right now that I remember feeling it while I watched it.
I feel like this was your Letterboxd review, wasn't it?
It was. I think I had some more stuff, and I definitely had more stuff that I did not put in that too. That I was just like, I'm really feeling something here watching this.
That's cool.
You're cooking.
Yeah, but a delight. And
it is a delight. It's totally like when I say that I liked other ones, but I still really enjoyed this. Like mystery, like whodunits. Yeah. Always a favorite pastime. If nothing else, like, you don't lose anything by watching these and like playing along and having fun.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I as I said, my biggest issue with Glass Onion is that it wasn't more fun on a rewatch.
I do agree with that. The second time watching Glass Onion, I was like,
I think the jokes still hit, but I thought that like the performances would change slightly, or like the mystery would get more fun. But as Tig said, if you noticed him switch the glasses in that scene, it kind of.
Well, I just thought that they would just continue to be in Greece forever.
if only. Yeah, that's too bad. No, I think that this will probably. This is one that I really. There's a couple movies that I really need to rewatch right now. As we start to get our like top tens together, which will definitely be our next cast in February. But unless there's anything else that we need to catch up on beforehand.
I think it would just be a question of what, of Daddy Russ's availability.
Yeah.
If we get deeper into February and he's not ready, I would just say, hey, let's.
Yeah, we could do another one.
Start out another one instead.
Yeah, you guys all, as long as you guys see Anaconda, then we can just do that and we'll just talk. We'll have Anacast and go from there.
You know, if we just did a catch up on like anything random we saw too.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Yeah, we could do that. Right now, I think that the big ones for me to see are going to be Secret Agent. I still need to see Frankenstein. And I want to see the new Jarmusch, and then.
That's the husband, wife.
Yeah, mother, father, sister, brother. I think it's only in film form right now. It's really frustrating.
Bone Temple is next week.
Bone Temple is next week. No, or is it?
Bone Temple is next
Bone
week.
Temple is coming.
I don't know why.
I have a reservation for a early screening and Q&A Wednesday for Bone Temple that I'm hoping to get into.
Oh, that's awesome.
People apparently really like it.
Yeah.
It's cool, like how quickly it's coming. It's coming out at this point.
But it's a January movie, which kind of worries me.
Right. Yeah. I feel that as well. So like that's much like Primate, which also a January movie.
That excites me.
So see what else.
This Dracula 2025 is coming out February 6th, but that already came out.
The Caleb Landry Jones one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's getting a wider release, or at least going to attempt to.
Interesting.
Chapter 3 is coming up soon. Oh my gosh.
That's going to be
I think on my like cleanup for the end of the year, biggest Surratt and No Other Choice and The Testament of Anne Lee.
Oh,
and Return to Silent Hill.
is that coming out soon?
That's 2 weeks.
It's not. Sorry. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's big. That's big time. I am so excited for that. I had that poster in my room for so long. I love that Silent Hill movie. That second one's terrible, but that first one's great. Yeah, I'm trying to think about like other ones that are coming. I just saw Spinal Tap.
I enjoyed it a great deal.
I thought it was good. I felt like it was almost too much retreading on some of the old jokes, or it was like trying too hard. I don't know. I still enjoyed watching it. I still enjoyed kind of like sitting with all of them again.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was going through most of the award, like nominees from Golden Globes, and I think I've seen basically everything except maybe what was it called? Is it Hedda? Is that the?
Oh yeah, the Hedda Gabler.
Meaning to watch that one.
I don't even know what that's about.
Wait, Tiggs, what's going to be the crazy anime movie that shows up on your list that we've like? Is it going to be Demon Slayer?
So I like Demon Slayer more than I like Chainsaw Man. But my nephew. was like, we have to watch Jujutsu Kaisen. And so I spent a good portion of the last 2 weeks watching a bunch of Jujutsu Kaisen. And I need to see that movie.
Hey, what about the All You Need Is Kill anime movie?
Oh, is there an All You Need Is Kill anime?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's 2025. Is it just 2025 too?
Live, Die, Repeat?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right? Isn't All You Need, yeah. Whatever the original title is.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Which is like, it's weird that there's an anime coming out of Edge of Tomorrow / Live, Die, Repeat / All You Need Is Kill. Yeah, it's a good question about what the anime is going to be this time, because there hasn't been anything like too crazy or outlandish other than
maybe Demon Slayer. Start taking bets. I want to see the Poly Market go.
Oh, we'll see what happens. See what's going on. What is this year's lockout?
Actually, how do we start a bet on Poly Market? Because I want to do that for...
It's just going to be us betting with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'd be into it. Don't get me wrong. If you guys want to give me money, I'll just change it at the last second, like I've done many a times.
Oh, and hey, before we record real quick, I'm just going to switch 10 and 1. An actual quote from Tiggs.
Yeah. That's when Brick Mansion was made its number one. I remember. It's a great movie. I don't know to tell you.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll see you in February.
Yeah, we will see you all in February. You can find us on the web, moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on all the social medias. It's Russ Incredible. You can find Peter he's busy. He's probably not posting, but you know, you just wish him well. Congrats, Russ. I should have started that with that instead of happy 2026. But here we are at the end. If you made it to the end, congrats, Russ. You can find Pete as 12 Angry Peters, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. Is that what you still are? Did you change it again?
I might.
Okay. Johnny Tiggs, for me, Strava, and Letterboxd, Alex.
Now, Tiggs, you fully endorsed that woman's freakout that worked for Strava, right?
Wait, what happened? What happened?
That Strava employee that freaked out on the restaurant staff in San Francisco.
Oh, I did not see this.
I'll send it to you later.
Okay, yeah, send it to me. I didn't see this.
But yeah, you can find Alex just wherever, man.
Wow, Strava employee original video.
You'll find Alex at open mic nights around the city. Hanging out with all our stand-up friends.
Hanging out with balls.
Hanging out with balls. Yeah, you know, here it is. All right. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you all next time on the Movie Podcast.